Hi there, you're listening to another news on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage, bringing you news, views, and music from the youth perspective. Things we care about straight from our mouths. Another news is a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute. I'm Cornelius Nelson.
I'm Zane Penny.
And, you know, hey Zane, you've seen Endgame, right?
I have, yes.
Endgame's pretty good, right?
It's one of the best movies I've seen in a while.
It's actually definitely like what 10 years of movies should finish on.
Yeah.
All right, so on today's show, we're going to be having some music, some news and events, a look at MHATS, or mental health advocacy through storytelling, and a roundtable discussion from youth filmmakers. So let's kick things off with some news. Kendrick?
Recently, something very strange occurred in the Upper Cook Inlet. A humpback whale was found dead, washed up on Turnagain Arm. The appearance of any whales up this far up the inlet is very unusual. It was a 30-foot-long white whale that went far off of its course and ended up beached by the rocky shores near Mile 86 on the Seward Highway. A former Raven, Alaska supervisor was sentenced to 12 months in prison for stealing and selling items sent to the villages by mail. The two employees were accused of and convicted of operating a mail theft conspiracy from 2015 to 2017. Primarily, they stole 60 Apple computers and tobacco products and phones, the selling of which brought them upwards of $100,000. Last December, one of the employees pled guilty on charges of mail theft, conspiracy, and possession of stolen mail, and in February, the other employee was sentenced to 6 months in a halfway house. As a very odd political statement, a man took a very large bag of moose poop into a Juneau airport, which was perceived as a large organic mass by the TSA, which could potentially mean it's a bomb. The message is supposed to be a very abstract protest of Governor Mike Dunleavy's new proposed budget. What a time we live in. Thanks, Other Me. Now time for some more music. Today we are coming at you with some of the jazziest and soulful music I could find. To start off, we have The Payback by James Brown.
Hey! You got the payback! Revenge! A man! Get back. I need some get back. Payback. Payback. That is payback. Again, I'm mad to get down with my girlfriend. That ain't right. Hit him, Fred! Hit him!
to me. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me the funk, that sweet, funky stuff. That stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funk is stuff. Give it to me, give it to me. Give it to me, give it to me. Give me a stuff, that sweet.
Sexiness was Give It To Me Baby by the man himself, Rick James. And before that, we had The Payback by James Brown.
Hey, Zane, I got a question for you. What do people do with pet hamsters?
Pet hamsters?
Yeah, what do you do with that? Do you just, like, watch it walk around, or?
I don't know. Like, I mean, they're cute.
Why would someone get that as a pet? Like, there's nothing you can really do with. They can't take it for a walk.
Or, like, ferrets.
Okay, ferrets are actually cool.
Ferrets are kind of like long rats,
though. Yeah, I have a couple friends that have pet ferrets. Ferrets are cool.
I had a friend that had pet ferrets as well. They're really adorable. They gave them like one of those huge, like, cat scratching posts, and they just climb all over it, and it was so weird.
Yeah, ferrets just, like, especially when they get wet, they just turn into long, noodly fur boys.
Long, noodly fur boys.
Another pet, like, I want to have, but I don't know what to do with, is a scorpion.
Scorpion.
It's kind of like with a pet snake, you can pick it up, you know, have it wrap around you, crawl around your neck and stuff. With a scorpion, like, yeah, they get devenomized, and then it just has to, like, beat its food to death.
Or just don't devenomize it and just, like,
hope it never gets out.
Own a pet that can legitimately just end your life at any moment.
Yeah, if it really wants to, it can eventually get out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of time until it kills you in your sleep. Or because you're going to wake up.
That and people that own, like, huge spiders, like tarantulas and stuff.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think having a pet spider is cool.
Mm-hmm.
However, still weird.
Yeah. Do you have any friends that own pet chinchillas?
No, but I've seen what a chinchilla looks like.
Chinchillas are so... You have to bathe them in dust. Or, like, I think it's dust. Because if they get water on their skin, they'll mold. So they'll just, like, live with mold. They'll just, like, be molding while they chill out. It's such a weird concept. Just like, yo, I'm going to own this animal that can't touch water or else it'll get moldy.
All right, so coming up, we're going to be doing a segment on MHATs, or Mental Health Advocacy Through Storytelling, from earlier, and it's going to be led by a familiar voice. please introduce yourselves.
Absolutely. My name is Bert Croft. I'm a senior at West right now.
My name is Natalie Fraser. I'm a junior at West. I like dogs and roller skating.
So, you folks are from MHATS. What is MHATS?
Well, first, I always tell people it stands for Mental Health Advocacy Through Storytelling. And it's a group of currently 8 teenagers who we act as both storytellers and organizers. So our goal is to destigmatize mental health conversations by talking about our own personal experiences.
Exactly. The concept of it was that we all deal with mental health throughout our lives, whether it's mental illness or mental hardship or anything in between. Yet the conversations we have around mental health don't really adequately address the problems and struggles we all face. And so we wanted to try to open up some conversations about the issues.
So every 2 weeks we meet as a group and we practice storytelling. We learn about mental health history. We learn about different ways that people have advocated for access to mental health resources. Recently, actually, a couple of MHATS members went down to Juneau to talk to legislators about the importance of mental health in young people. And then we're also putting on a final storytelling show.
So what has been the main driving force behind the movement?
I think we were incredibly lucky. I had the idea originally and was able to reach out to Anchorage Youth Development Coalition and get grant funding from it. But more than any of that is just we were incredibly lucky to have so many people who were invested from an early time. So, for example, Burke, who's here with me, is the first person I ever told about the idea and just received really amazing support early on. And then we talked to other teens we knew who were already interested in mental health. We did a lot of recruiting. I think the drive behind the program is just the passion that we have as teenagers, both coming from our own experiences and what we see other people going through, that we want to keep talking about it.
Absolutely. Like almost all the organization and actual making of MHATS was youth led. However, that is along the whole way, adults in our community, whether they're from Storyworks or NAMI or any other organizations that have helped us along the way, have really given us the tools to be able to make the most out of this project.
I think that there's just so much individual investment we put in too. I have this document where I've been tracking all the hours we put into it. And in total, all of us contribute, like all together, we've all contributed over 100 volunteer hours. I know I spent a lot of time checking emails in my inbox, figuring out paperwork. And I think it's just you keep doing it because it feels important and because it feels valuable and because you want to help people.
Awesome. Yeah, there's something, there's like the gift of giving. It's really nice.
Yeah, one of the things, Jason, he works at NAMI and he's someone who comes to a lot of our meetings. And one of the things he was saying to me at the dress rehearsal for this show was when someone tells a story, they don't lose anything. Storytelling isn't a zero-sum game. They choose to give something to an audience or to another person, and both people feel more whole as a result.
What change have you seen come from MHATS?
I can speak to this personally. The experience, I think, of being part of a group where its stated mission is to talk about personal experiences with mental health has made me so much more conscious of my own mental health. I definitely went in thinking that I was coming from that position of positive strength and that I was doing really well. But just being part and being around other teenagers who care so much about it has made me more conscious about my own mental health. And so even as we're preparing for the show, I think that I've been more conscious about like managing stress levels and making sure I'm having healthy habits.
Exactly. Up to this point, most of the things that I think have come out of MHATS have been from the members themselves after talking about it for so much and have been personal growth in understanding their own mental health and understanding how to best look out for mental health of others in their daily lives. But one of the things that I've seen as the biggest change so far is just the group itself. Because as Natalie said, we have eight people right now, eight teenagers, and just the way that I feel like we've all become so much closer. Like at the start, we were all semi-strangers. Like we all knew each other or in some ways, and some of us were friends beforehand. But I've seen some people who were clearly kind of not incredibly comfortable coming into this space at the start come into their own. And it's just amazing to see people become more comfortable to talk about important issues to them, or rather just their own mental health with other people. And it's been just absolutely amazing to see them. And like, it's been amazing for me to see, and I can, and also amazing for me to feel like I belong more in another community.
Yeah, we've always known that we also have that community aspect, right? So first we focus on, the first focus is on the storytellers, right? And like making sure that we're all coming from positions of positive strength, and that we're building our way up to that and feeling good about our past or current experiences with mental health. But on the community side, just promoting this event, I feel like I'm seeing little bits of, just like little teases of what could come Friday. We've been going into classrooms and giving announcements. And I love that feeling of you talk about, you say the first words of, oh, we're doing a mental health storytelling show, and people in the back of the class start perking up. And you can just kind of see that people are interested, and there's this camaraderie and kinship in knowing that this is something that's finally going to be talked about.
That's awesome. Right. There's getting to be the person that starts the conversation feels so good.
It does. I think it's really hard, especially when it comes from a place of emotional vulnerability.
Right.
And so like with any of our storytellers, like they have to start that conversation by saying, I have struggled. But when that second person steps up and says, me too, it just feels amazing.
How can youth struggling with their own mental health get involved with MHATS?
Originally, I put my phone number on all of the posters, which was surprisingly okay. No one spam texted me.
Huh.
But these days, I encourage them to email MHATS, so MHATS info@gmail.com, or come to the show and talk to one of us in person.
But of course, also those who are wanting to get more involved in the mental health, or are looking especially for help along with mental health, we are certainly not the only resource. I would point you to NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, and there are many other groups around our city and around the state that are more than happy to facilitate conversation about mental health.
Definitely well said. It's worth acknowledging that a lot of the stem of MHATS came from the West High Yana Club, which is You Are Not Alone Suicide Prevention. And that's a group that works to make the West High community just kinder and more open to conversations about mental health in the first place. And I don't think MHATS would be here if it weren't for the basis that West High Yana provided.
So was there an aha moment for you where you realized that there was an issue with the way that society talks about mental health? Or was it kind of a gradual realization?
I always tell the story of this aha moment. I'd had this really stressful conversation with my counselor at school because I was signing up for classes for this year, my junior year. And I chose not to take the hardest possible classes. And a lot of the people in the community I'm in kind of looked down on me for that.
Hmm.
And my counselor was saying, no, you should be doing other things. Like, this is totally okay. And I left her office and I wasn't feeling great, so I went for a run. And I was on that run and I just kept having all of these ideas pop into my head. And one of them was earlier that day, I'd had a conversation with a friend. And she mentioned to me, hey, you always talk about how much you like going to see your therapist. I think I'm going through something. How do I get a therapist? And I think the coincidence of those two things happening on the same day made me realize I have made this decision to take care of myself by not having a super hard schedule. I have the time to invest in something else. And I've also seen the way that, like, I am a person who talks about my experiences with depression and mental health has helped others. What if this was a bigger thing than just me? And then I talked to Burke, and that's how it got started. And then we applied for a grant, and the rest is not history, but...
What's the next step? Individually or with the program or both?
MHATS is not going to end after this year. It's going to keep on going. Personally, I'm sad that I can't join in on that because I'm heading off to college.
Where are you going to college?
University of Chicago.
Chicago.
Heck yeah. A city with far more songs about it than Anchorage has. But I'm excited to hear many stories, and Natalie has to update me about what's going on at MHATS next year.
Yeah, so I'm a junior in high school, so I have a full year left to see what happens. So far, we're hoping to basically take the MHATS model, which is storytelling plus mental health advocacy, and introduce it to local groups during the summer. So, for example, Seeds of Change and AYA have both expressed interest, which will be really cool to kind of – the hardest part of MHATS, honestly, is recruiting and finding people who are willing to talk about mental health and their personal experience with it. And so that should be fun. And then the other hope is next school year, do one or two more cycles of the same thing where we – recruit from all over the district, students from all of the high schoolers, high schools. We even invite middle schoolers, I think, and then have a winter show and a spring show.
What was like the one goal you had for this program that you achieved that you can say you like you nailed it?
Setting like strict goals is hard.
Yeah.
When dealing with personal growth, like it's hard, at least personally, to set out like objective or quantitative, this has been achieved or has not, like a black and white.
I think one.
Well, okay, then I'm talking about myself then and my personal experience. So, at least for me, I find it difficult to, when opening up conversations, to say whether it is white or black, yes or no, whether it's been achieved or not. However, I think that we have made progress for sure, and that I'm proud of, and that I think we've succeeded in.
Yeah. I know something that I really wanted to incorporate within MHATS was the idea of something that is a protective factor for young people experiencing mental illness or dealing with depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, is knowing that they matter to the people around them. And that was something that I entered this project with the idea that that was something I would help convince other people, whereas I've also seen it work on me throughout this. Mm-hmm. So when we created the project, it was very much like this like standalone like lone wolf thing of like a couple friends and like a mission. But we were able to connect with Storyworks. We were able to connect with NAMI. And in that process, I just had so much more exposure to adults like Reagan or Jason, who's the executive director at NAMI. Or we have like the people at Anchorage Youth Development Coalition, Lindsay and Julie, email me like every other week and just like, hey, checking in, how's it going? I've had teachers at school just tell me about how much they believe in the project. And I think the overwhelming support we've felt has really like made me feel like adults in the community care about me. Other students, when they express support, when they want to join, really furthers the idea of like mattering. And so like having started out with the goal of making sure other people felt they mattered and then having it work, hopefully within our whole group, but like I feel the weight of it personally, has been something really nice to feel and look back on and just have a sense of achievement about.
That was the MHATS interview. Pretty cool. I think you guys really liked that interviewer. I think that guy really has some skill going on. So now going on, we got Kendrick Whiteman coming in with some events.
First, the weekend market is back again every Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 on Sunday. It's free. There's lots of unique and interesting vendors, along with live entertainment and some of the best food trucks in Anchorage. It's just an overall great way to spend your summer afternoons. Family comedian Gabriel Fluffy will be here May 10th. I imagine tickets are selling fast. He's best known for his family-friendly humor and his multiple streamable specials. Again, May 10th at the Denina Center. Also this May 10th and 11th, the Garden Brothers Circus will be here. This is the all-new 2019 edition of the Garden Brothers Circus, and it will be at the Sullivan Arena. Free children's tickets are being passed out in schools, and the first 100 adult tickets bought are $12.50 on GardenBrosCircus.com. Now with this next block, we are going to reach smooth levels that shouldn't even be possible. First up, we have Bistro by Mad Villain, the hip-hop super duo MF Doom and Madlib.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debut grand opening of Mad Villain Bistro Bed and Breakfast Bar Grill Cafe Lounge on the water, where we offer you the finest and the finer thing. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days.
How do you do?
Yeah. Live on the beats, we have the one and only Mad Lib.
How do you do?
We also have King Ghidra on the mix. Yesterday's new quintet is here. Victor Vaughn, Quasimodo, and I'm your host, the supervillain. You know, just lay back, have a good time, enjoy the music, you know what I'm saying? I like to dedicate this next joint to my bands, you know, Big Hookie and Baba from the Laundromat.
That was Jammin' by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Before that, we had Bistro by Mad Villain. We will hit you with some more music after this.
Alright, thank you for that music, Kendrick.
After ATME hosted their annual youth film screening, after school special back in December, youth producer Madison Dooley invited local youth filmmakers to sit down and talk about making movies, watching movies, and the larger cultural impacts they have. Here's Madison Dooley talking with me, Zane Penny, Devin Streckengost, Daisy Carter, Logan Smith, Madison Hill, and Brandon Joseph.
What is more important in filmmaking? Is it visuals or storytelling?
I think they're equally important, but because film is a visual medium, gun to my head, it'd have to be visual. But storytelling is very important, too.
I agree with that. I feel like it's kind of a 50-50 thing. Visuals are obviously what attracts people, and that's what's going to pull people in the most. But there also has to be a good story because, you know, no one wants to be falling asleep on an $11 movie that they paid for. But, I mean, I think visuals probably would be more of the upper hand in that.
Okay, well, I think that story is more important than visuals because it doesn't matter if they filmed up here majestically, but there's no story, or, like, the story's crap. I wouldn't consider that a good movie. I would definitely take a good story, but really bad visuals over really good visuals and a bad story.
You can have the flashiest, wackiest, darn visuals that the world's ever seen, but if you have a crappy script, it's not going to save your movie. Story comes first. And to me, it almost barely matters what you film on, as long as you can tell what's happening on screen and you have a strategic way in pointing your camera, you can film on the phone, as long as your story is solid.
I guess it really depends on what it is. But, like, for me, I believe it is kind of the storytelling.
I guess I should say, if you're making an Avengers movie, that visuals does, in fact, matter more than story. So, I mean, it just depends what you're making.
Do you think films make an impact on culture?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say films can be a pretty nuanced and effective way to explore pretty complicated issues, although that definitely does depend on the film. Like, obviously, Star Wars is going to have a lot to offer on right and wrong, but it's not going to have a lot to offer on, like, what do we do about this specific political issue? Like, it's definitely depends on the film, and you kind of have to pick and choose what aspects of society it affects.
I think films do affect society, especially in meme culture, definitely. Each film can give birth to a lot of new memes. In this day and age, that's kind of a big part of our culture.
I think it does because, you know, there are some movies like from the 1940s and 50s that were like super sexist and super racist, but they're like classics in a way. So I think it definitely like shapes like how we view things. And I think it's just interesting, like, how, like, with society changes, like, also movie changes.
Do you think films from other eras truthfully represent the time periods?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably because based on the stereotypes at that time, they wanted to make a movie that was from around that era, I guess. And they want to make something entertaining so people could like it and they could watch it over and over again.
I think for me it's hard to tell just because I wasn't born in those generations, so I can't say from personal experience that I know what it looked like back then. There has been a lot of movies that have done it really well. They've made it look like that era, but I mean, I can't tell. I wasn't there.
I think in an expansion on previous statements that they can explain, like, if the film was made in a particular decade, it can explain how we feel in that decade. But it also explains how we feel about previous decades if a movie like from the 80s, like Back to the Future, goes back to the 50s. Like, it also kind of informs how we feel about that previous generation as well. So I think our real frame of reference is past, present, and future, and our views of the future will always be different than our views on the past. But to answer the question more specifically, I do think it does inform how we look at the previous two decades, past and present, more than anything else.
How important is diversity in films?
I think it's important depending on the film that's being made. Like, if it's a period piece, you'd want very specific diversity in play depending on that time period. In modern day, yeah, I'd say it's important. Like, I can't provide a more nuanced explanation than that.
Diversity in films here in 2019 is probably very important to other people. There are a lot of activists now in this decade, I wanted to say. And I think a lot of people want to see more diversity in films because there's not as much of it. That's not just racial diversity, it's cultural diversity, religious diversity.
I think in order to for a film to be realistic, it should have a lot of diversity. Just because you can't have a film and base it in 2019 and just have like only white people, like white Christian people, because that's not what it is like in 2019.
I feel like diversity in movies is really, really important. I can't really think of too many examples right off the top of my head, but there are a really good amount of examples of, like, you know, whitewashing in film, where it's like someone from a different culture being represented by white people. I guess I can get why that happens, but it's also like it's unrealistic.
you to represent the culture by the people who are in that culture, and there are actors in that culture, so use those actors.
How can we promote representation in film?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, incentivized ways to do that, but I honestly am not an expert in that field, so I wouldn't know 100% for sure how we could do it, but I do think there are ways to do it.
I think through history we've been doing a lot better, definitely, because there isn't a lot of whitewashing anymore. There still is, but it's not as, like, often as it was. As far as having more representation, I don't know. I definitely think we are doing better as time goes on.
I guess I feel like the only way to have more diversity and representation in films nowadays is to open the door for those people to be involved. I'm trying not to open a can of worms here, but I feel like there's a like a surplus, or like there's more white people in film than there is any other like race or culture. And I feel like we just need to, I don't know, just, I guess, open the door, yeah.
So does one person make an entire film or show unwatchable? With the Me Too movement, all of the people who are being called out, should their previous work, like, should we not watch their previous work? Or should we watch it because they're only one person and lots of, like, hundreds of other people worked on this as well?
To be clear, like, it depends on the actual quality of the work. I watched this Netflix original called Master of None, which is directed and starring a guy named Aziz Ansari, who has been accused in the Me Too movement, kind of. The show is still good and provides, you know, nuanced kind of social commentary outside of the Me Too movement, and towards the end, kind of within it. But I think the show itself is watchable, but not all shows are like that by some of the people. And The Usual Suspects I really enjoy, even though Kevin Spacey's a monster, so I think that's backing me into a corner, but it honestly depends on the actual quality of the work to begin with, if you can separate man from the art.
As a kid, I watched The Cosby Show a ton, and I loved it, and I can't watch it anymore. Before all that stuff was, like, brought to light, I loved that show. I think it kind of depends on, like, how big of a role they play in the whole production of it, just because if they were, like, director, producer, starring in it, like, all that stuff, then it might make it unwatchable, but, I mean, especially for, like, victims and stuff, but from an, like, an outside perspective, I think it has to do with, like, how big of a role they played, but also, like, the quality of the work. I do think that it shouldn't just go by, like, unnoticed just because it's a good movie or TV show, though.
I've been struggling with this for a while, and I think I've come to the conclusion that it depends on the medium or what it is that's being filmed. On one end of the spectrum, you have Kevin Spacey in Baby Driver. I love his character, and I still do, and I get mixed feelings about that myself. So I think maybe in this instance, or in instances like it, when it comes to fictional movies, we might be able to separate the talent from the person. But when it comes to, like, say, Louis C.K., and his stand-up comedy, that's different because it's stemming from personal experience. I don't think that's something I can tolerate, and I don't think I've watched Louis C.K.'s comedy ever since I found out about that sort of thing. So there's a lot of gray areas to me.
When certain actors play a movie role, it's not them. Like, it's not their personality. It's not, like, who they are. That's a good way of, like, separating artists from art. But as far as comedians like Louis C.K., that's, like, his personality that he brings on stage. So separating his art, there isn't, the line is just a lot more faded.
So I think your original question was whether or not we should dismiss the entire work because one person...
Exactly.
One person should not bring down the quality of work that thousands of people did for millions of dollars. I feel like that shouldn't be possible, but I totally get everyone else's side of the issue, and I'm not negating that at all, but... Personally, I feel like that's a lot of work that would go wasted because of one person.
I understand where you guys are coming from, but it's also, you have to think about that actor or actress, is that's something that they put their time into. Like, that's something that represents them. And if they've done something wrong to someone else and they've known that they did it, like they kept it a secret, why should we support that?
Does anyone have anything they want to say before we're done?
Just wanted to say, I guess, that I enjoyed hanging out with you guys. It's been a very fun, fun circle of hard questions. But I get the questions had to be hard. Like, it's kind of necessary to ask hard questions of people who have really strong opinions. I'd like to thank everyone for being here, even though it's not my job. So,
shout out to Alaska filmmakers. Go out and go to film festivals here in Alaska. Go support everyone.
This was a fun 1 hour. Like, it felt like much more than 1 hour.
It's been 45 minutes.
Oh, what? Like, see, it felt longer than that.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't know what I was doing when I first came here, and I thank you for that. Thank you for inviting me, Madison. I thought this was really nice to be able to think deeper, I guess, in a way about movies. I don't usually do anything like this, and I thought this was a great conversation.
I don't want to be like, you know, your cliche inspirational. I don't know if there's anyone who like wants to make movies and they feel like they can't, just freaking do it. Just get your phone out and start filming. Like, there's literally nothing stopping you. Just, it's from me and Brendan's experience, just literally start filming random crap.
You gotta start somewhere. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, you have to start somewhere.
Awesome sauce. Thank you for being here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Here's a contract when we get to the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
All right, so that was the Filmmakers Roundtable. So coming up next, we got some music choices. Another set of music by Kendrick. 21st Century Schizoid. That's a good one. That song's really good, has a really good sample taken from it on Kanye's wonderful album, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, for Power. It's a good track.
Now, my kiddies, time for the final block of music for today's show. First up, we have the legendary alt-rock band King Crimson and their song, 21st Century Schizoid Man.
Oh,
And that was Keep That Same Old Feeling by the wonderful jazz group The Crusaders. And before that was 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson.
All right, cool. Thank you for that music. I really liked the part where they said music. All right, well, I think that about does it. So you want to do the outro?
Sure.
All right, play us out.
In Other News is a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute. If you'd like to learn more about what we do or listen to past episodes of our radio show, please visit our website at www.alaskateenmedia.org.
Oh, I found some instruments. Let's make some sounds okay. On the way out.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks again for listening to Another News here on KNBA 90.3 FM.
It's too bad we don't have like a trumpet to make like a ska outro.